Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. As we pick up here and continue in our study going through the epistle to the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and we're going to pick up here verse number 3. And it says here, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." So here we have the Apostle Paul, and he's starting to talk about some things that he is remembering of this local assembly. And he's going to hold up these three things that he's remembering about them. But when he starts talking about this issue of remembering what was going on with them, I want to go over to the book of Acts. And we're going to read very quickly the passage that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to when he's starting to talk about this local assembly that he had visited. Acts chapter number 17. And we're going to start here, verse number 1. And it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now, as we see this description of what's going on here in Thessalonica, we see, you know, as Paul did all throughout the book of Acts, you see him going into the synagogue, he preaches to the Jews, and you see that it really records that he was there for a time of 3 Sabbath days, which means that he was there for a period of 3 weeks teaching them this information. And this is the time that the Apostle Paul was there with them, ministering with them. And this is when he's starting to talk about that he's remembering these things about them. He's talking about this time that he had been ministering with them. Now, you see the Apostle Paul, when he talks about the saints and the care that he has for them, you see a lot of information that the Apostle Paul writes in his epistles related to that issue of the care of the saints. I want to go over to Romans chapter number 1. And that's part of the Apostle Paul, when he starts talking about this issue of remembering, this is an issue that goes on with them as part of that remembering, is the care that he has for them. And you see here in Romans chapter number 1, a care that he's going to have for this assembly here. And we're going to read verses 11 and 12 of Romans chapter 1. It says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." And so we see the Apostle Paul talking about a comfort that he would have by being among these saints, and that this comfort would come about because there is a mutual faith that they have that allows him to say that there is a comfort that comes about by being around these individuals. Now, when you really look at the idea of this assembly in Rome, the one thing we see with them is the fact that he had never even been around these individuals. He had not actually taught them. He's only hearing about the fact that they have this faith, that they've put their trust in the gospel message that had been committed to the Apostle Paul. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and believing in that and that alone would give someone the salvation that they need for today, identifying them as a member of the body of Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul is actually seeing here, knows that these individuals are saints. He has a care for them, and even is identifying the fact that he would be comforted by being around them. And that's such an important aspect of being around the members of the body of Christ, is that there is a comfort that we have from just being around the members of the body of Christ. And that's why, you know, and I reinforce this thing, you know, over and over again about why it is that the body of Christ should be coming together, meeting, and the responsibility of that local assembly, which is not only to evangelize, you know, getting the gospel out, but the responsibility of the local assembly is also to the edification, that, you know, the building up of the saints, the exhortation, that encouragement that needs to come, and the eldership, the giving the information onto the next generation, so they'll be able to go out and preach this message unto others. That's the information that when the Apostle Paul is looking at all of these things and talks about it being a comfort, he sees just being around these individuals as a comfort. And that's why he's looking forward to a time when he was going to be able to go be around the saints in Rome so that way he could minister with them. Now, here in the book of Romans, we're in chapter 1. I want to go all the way to the last chapter of the book, and we'll go to chapter number 16 now in the book of Romans. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul here starts talking about some of the saints here as he's closing out this epistle. Romans chapter number 16, we'll start here, verse number 1. Says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the churches in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. And he's going to continue on all the way down through verse 16, identifying all of these individuals that he's calling out for the good things that they've done. All of these individuals are people who have ministered with him, have remained faithful, and he's holding them up as examples for the local assemblies so they could see what it is that to have the things that the Apostle Paul talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, when he's saying that he remembered these things of that local assembly. These are the same things that he can see in all of these individuals that he's naming here at the end of this epistle to the book of Romans. Now I go over to the end of the epistle 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, because we're going to see again the apostle Paul is going to be holding up individuals for in a remembrance of things that they've done that are pleasing to God according to the doctrine that is laid out for us in this dispensation. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we're going to read here verses 15 and 16 here. It says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us, and laboreth. So now he's holding up an entire household, this household of Stephanas, and he holds them up as an example because he says that they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that they had a care for the saints that was so strong with them that he identifies it as an addiction. Now, if you've ever dealt with someone who has had an addiction in their life, you can see how whatever it is that they've become addicted to, their whole life starts to revolve around whatever that element is. You know, we typically think of an addiction as something, a negative sense, you know, for example, alcohol or drugs or gambling, and how an individual allows an element like that to control their life so much that it impacts everything in their life, causing so many problems for them, and that they identify the fact that they need help in order to break this addiction because of the consequences that are coming from it. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking about this household and talking about how they have an addiction to the care of the saints, that they have an addiction to doing things that are going to be benefiting the fellow members of the body of Christ, building them up, doing that edification and exhortation that is supposed to be occurring in the body of Christ. And so the Apostle Paul holds them up as examples to say, this is how individuals are supposed to be living their lives. Now, we see the Apostle Paul talk about things. I want to go over to the book of Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 2. Because we're going to see the Apostle Paul talk here about a very specific individual. And we've talked about this passage before, where he starts describing Timothy here in verses 19 and 20 of Philippians chapter number 2. It says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now we see the Apostle Paul, again, demonstrating this care for the saints, and he's sending an individual who he says is like-minded. So he's sending someone he feels is almost exactly like him to go and care for and minister to this local assembly. And he knows that he's going to hear from Timothy exactly what has been going on in this assembly, knowing that he's going to hear, and he's hoping that he's going to hear all of these good things about what they've been doing. And it's that's why we've been talking about this issue of that this remembering is more than just this idea of having memories about what's going on. That it's an issue of demonstrating that care for the fellow members of the body of Christ, a responsibility that we are supposed to have. If we go over here to the book of Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to make a statement here about the responsibility the members of the body of Christ have for each other. And here in Ephesians chapter number 4, let's read verse 16. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see this issue of the edifying, the building up of each other that's supposed to occur, and that occurs by the body functioning properly. And the Apostle Paul describes it in this manner when he's talking about how the whole body's fitly joined together and compacted, so that the body of Christ is fit in a manner where everything is in the exact place of where it's supposed to be. And as a result of the body being fit in this manner, that you can see this issue of that every joint is going to supply things that the body of Christ needs, so that way there can be this increase in the edifying of the body as part of this care of the saints that's supposed to be occurring. And this is what the Apostle Paul, when he's looking at this church in Thessalonica, he can see that this is what is going on with them, and that he's hoping that as he's remembering and knows that this is what had occurred, he's hoping that the doctrine is remaining in them, so that way they're going to be continuing in this exact way that he has seen and that the doctrine has laid out that they're supposed to be living their lives. So when he's talking about this, he's saying, he's remembering, and he's talking about without ceasing, that he's remembering this. Now, that phrase about without ceasing, that's going to be a very similar thing to when he starts talking about that idea of pray without ceasing, is that the Apostle Paul's not talking about this being something that is a continuous item that's going on, so that way, you know, it's not the thing of that the Apostle Paul, his whole life is revolved around just him thinking about and remembering and seeing exactly what it is that was going on, but it's the idea that he knows that these things are a normal part of their life because the Word of God is in them, effectually working in them, so that way it can produce what is supposed to be going on. The information that he communicates to the body of Christ, for example, and I'm going to read here, you know, verse Philemon 6, when it talks about that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, we have an understanding of every good thing that is in us by understanding the doctrine that is laid out in Romans through Philemon. So we take the doctrine in. We have the renewing of the mind that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter number 12. So we have all of this doctrine that is in us, and as a result of that doctrine being in us, what's going to occur is that we're going to live the life that God intends for us to live because of the fact that the doctrine is what's having the impact on our lives. And when the doctrine's having that impact, what you see occur is, for example, what the Apostle Paul talks about here, and I'm going to read Galatians chapter number 2. We read here verse number 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, you see that issue when he's talking about here in Galatians chapter number 2, that it's the faith of Christ that's having the impact. It's not the faith in Christ. It's not our works that's having an impact. It's the faith of Christ, what he did on the cross at Calvary, that has the impact on our lives. It's his righteousness that allows us to function properly. It's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us that allows us to function properly, that allows us to demonstrate the things that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse 3, when he's looking at that and seeing these things that are going on, and these things that he sees and talks about in his epistles that are supposed to be part of the life of the believer today. I want to go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And you're going to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 an issue that the Apostle Paul brings up as he's starting to talk about some of the issues of the sign gifts. Here we're going to start at verse 8 just to kind of get the context of what Apostle Paul is saying here. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now the perfect issue that is being talked about here is the completed word of God. So once the last part of the word of God was written, we have something that's perfect or complete. So once that occurs, the things that are in part, all of those things that he had listed out, the sign gifts are going to be done away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, that's the same type of wording that you see the Apostle Paul talking about to the church at Thessalonica. And I'm going to read the verse that we started with again when it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So you see these same things were to the church at Corinth. He's talking about how the sign gifts were going to go away, but there was going to be some things that were going to remain, the issues of faith, hope, and charity. That was what was going to be remaining for the body of Christ. That he sees these things in that assembly at Thessalonica, and that's what he's calling to mind as he's writing to these individuals, and it's going to be giving them some doctrinal information that they're going to need that's going to build upon the faith, hope, and charity that they already have and that they're already demonstrating because the doctrine has been built up in them. We see that when he writes to them in the second epistle that we have, and let's go to 2 Thessalonians, we'll go to chapter number 1, and we can see he's going to make a reference to some of these things that he's holding up with them. We're going to read verses 3 and 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now, when we get to the epistle, the Second Thessalonian epistle, we're going to see that there's going to be issues of where some things have been done to try to disrupt the hope that these individuals had. And as he's writing to deal with the fact that their hope has been disrupted by some of these things that have been, you know, written unto them, some of the things they've started to believe, he's calling to mind, bringing them back to the issue of that they have that faith and that charity that has been demonstrated through them, and saying that you have these things, and now since you have these things, let me start to restore the hope that you had. Now, all of those things, that faith, hope, and charity, Those are things that the members of the body of Christ are supposed to have today. And when we continue this series next time, we're going to start looking at each one of these elements and talking about what they are and what it is that should be demonstrated in the life of the believer today as we start talking about these things. Now, as we start to close, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of some of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our live Sunday broadcasts on Facebook, which is either on the Grace Family Bible Church Facebook page or on Pastor Leroy Reed's Facebook page. There's also information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study. And as always, we'd love to hear from each and every one of you that have been listening to these broadcasts. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.